Well, it is good to be back here. Last year I was here too. I was just downstairs. I was sick all week long. Crazy. Okay. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I believe that we are living in the last days. And I believe that pretty soon we're going to be gone, and I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I've seen enough of this old world, and I've had pretty much enough of this old world as well. And Bertie, you're all by yourself. Oh, is that what it is? Okay. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home. And I've got more loved ones up in heaven than I do down here anyway. So, but yeah, I'm ready to go home. And I believe that that's soon going to be happening soon. And the title for tonight's message is, Are You Ready for the Rapture? And yes, it applies to the lost, but it also applies to us as well. There are some things that we need to make sure that we're doing prior to the rapture. And we need to make sure that we are being obedient to God prior to the rapture so that when we get to heaven, we don't have to be ashamed of what we've accomplished down here on this earth. You know, there's a great old song, and it's called Are You Ready? It says, there's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for that day to come? The refrain goes this, are you ready, are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for the judgment day? Verse number 2 says, there's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? And it says, then there's a sad day coming. A sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When a sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come? You know, it is going to be a great day for those that know the Lord. It is going to be a... To know the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing the fact that we're going to be leaving this wicked, sinful world to go and live in heaven forever. That is going to be a wonderful day. You think a place where no sickness, and I'm not going to have to worry about any more colds. There's no pain, no death, no sorrow, no saying goodbye. But for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's not going to be such a great day. They're going to be going through the worst time this earth has ever seen. There will be pain and suffering, the likes of which man has never known or seen. And I want to mention 4 things about the rapture tonight. So look down at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we're going to start in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which did sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you and look forward to your soon coming again. coming for us to take us to heaven. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here tonight know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Lord, also that we would understand that because there are those that are out there in the world that do not know why it is important for us to be so busy for you and for your cause before you come again. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So four things about the rapture tonight. Number one, it is a sure thing. It's going to happen. The word in verse number 16, shall, means that it's going to happen. Not maybe. I'm not hoping that it does. I know that God will keep this promise because of all the other promises that he has kept. You think about when God told Adam and Eve that the day that they eat of the forbidden fruit that they would die. Well, it did. And if you read in Genesis, Adam lived 930 years and he died. Seth lived 912 years and he died. Enos lived 905 years and he died. And all through the chapter, it says that, and he died, and he died, and he died. God said that he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did. God told the children of Israel to put the blood on the doorpost of their firstborn would live, and he did. God told Joshua that he would give Jericho to the children of Israel, and he did. Solomon prayed that God would give him wisdom, and he did. God said that all the people of the world would be blessed from Abraham's seed, and he did through Jesus Christ. God said that Jesus would be born of a virgin, and he was. Jesus said that he would die and then be raised again on the third day, and he was. And over and over and over again, can you read in the Word of God that he gave promises, and God has kept every single one. So why would he not keep this one? Why would I not believe that when God tells us something in his Word, that he would not keep it? The rapture is a sure thing. It's a sure event. And the world doesn't want to miss it. Unfortunately, the most of the world is going to miss it. And so God is going to keep his promise. God is going to keep his promise, and we are going to be raptured out. And I can't wait till that happens. Number two, it's a sudden event. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look down at verse number 51 when you get there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, or the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In the twinkling of an eye. It's a sudden event. In a understand how fast that is. Jesus Christ described it as a thief in the night. Not only do we not know when, but it does happen very quickly. There'll be no time to accept Christ when he comes. The trumpet will sound, and just like that, we're gone. There'll be no time to make changes in our lives. We won't have time to say, you know what, Lord, I haven't really lived for you all that well. No, there'll be no more time for that. There'll be no more time to tell others about Jesus Christ. No more time. When the rapture happens, you won't have time to go to tell your neighbor, hey, the trumpet's sounding. No more time for that. No more time to give. No more time to have a closer walk with Jesus Christ. There'll be no more time to read and study God's Word. There'll be no more time to pray. It's a sudden event. And by the way, the countdown is on. The countdown is on. It's happening, and it's almost zero. It's almost zero. And when it's reaches zero, that's it. That's all there is. You know, whenever I grew up, I grew up in an era where we actually put man on the moon, and we were constantly watching all of the different Mercury capsules that went up, all the different Apollo capsules that went up, and you know, of course back then it was such a big deal, and so there we were sitting at the television station at every rocket launch. And they always start that countdown, 10, 9, 8. Well, you know what? We're about to hit zero. And everything that we have done for the cause of Christ is over. So what we are doing for the cause of Christ today and tomorrow until it happens is what matters. It's what counts. So what are we doing? There's a lost and dying world out there. And it is a sudden event, and there'll be no more time once it hits zero. The third thing is that it is a separating event. The dead shall leave their graves and rise into the air. We'll leave our mortal bodies. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. No more pain. No more arthritis. No more my knees popping more than anything else. We leave the immortal bodies and will be separated from our mortality and from the corruption that we have. The unfortunate thing is that parents will leave behind children, and children will leave behind parents. Brothers will leave sisters, and sisters will leave brothers. If you can, you know, I got to thinking about this a long time ago. Imagine what it's going to be like whenever the rapture does happen and we're gone. Imagine, here is a woman who's been pregnant, and now she is in labor, and the rapture happens, and all of a sudden the baby's gone. The baby is gone. The doctor and the nurse, they're ready. They're waiting for the baby to be born. And it's gone. Imagine how the mother or the father would be, and how horrified that we're going to be. Here the mom, and all of a sudden, it's gone. Just like that. Imagine a mom or dad pushing their child in a stroller down the street, or in a basket in the store, and all of a sudden, they're gone. I was watching this morning just before church, and there was a couple of ladies that were walking down the street, and she was carrying her baby in front of her as she was walking down the street, and just like that, it's going to be gone. So imagine how horrified they're going to be. One minute you're holding your child's hand as you walk down the street, and then the next second your hand is empty. One second you're looking into the casket of a grandparent or whatever, and the next thing, the casket is empty. You take off in a jet, and all of a sudden it's half empty, and there's no pilot. Back whenever I was growing up, they don't do it anymore because I don't think they really care, but they used to make sure that the pilot and the co-pilot didn't profess to be Christians, because they wanted somebody that was still there to fly the plane in case the rapture happened. Now today, they don't believe in that. They don't, you know, they don't do that kind of stuff. Imagine driving down the highway and all of a sudden cars are driverless. One minute you're holding your spouse as you sleep, and the next time your arms are empty. See, those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to be separated from this world to be with Him. Are those people ready for the rapture? Are those people going to be left behind? And those that aren't saved, yes, they're going to be left behind, and it's not going to be a pretty sight. It's not going to be pretty at all. All of the, you know, we look at all of the things that are happening in this world and all of the things that are going on, and yet on top of all of that, the chaos that will happen when the rapture takes place, as millions of people just all of a sudden just disappear. and they're gone. It's a separating event. But you know what? It's going to be a sublime event. Amen. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones that have gone before. And it's going to be wonderful. Like I said before, I have more loved ones in heaven today than I do here on this earth anymore. And as you get older, that's just exactly what happens. Yeah. I'll be reunited with my mom. I'll be reunited with my brother-in-laws. I'll be reunited with my grandparents on both sides. Some aunts and uncles and all of those people, I'm going to be reunited with them. There's a old song that says, "Heaven can't be far away." It says, "This is the old ship of Zion, and we're sailing toward that city. I see the lights so faintly shining as we're moving toward the shore. Sometimes I think I hear singing as saints are greeted on that day. It brings a thrill to my soul, for heaven can't be far away." Oh, what a sight! What a reunion! As precious loved ones are reunited. I see my mother, there's my father, they're rejoicing around the throne. Now all the angels, they're crying holy, as Gabriel's horn is about to play. Oh, my steps are getting lighter, for heaven can't be far away. We can't be far from that city, for I can see the walls of jasper. The gates of pearl are swinging open, leading to the streets of gold. Saints of every land are shouting, and heaven's choir has started singing. This old body is feeling sweet release, for heaven can't be far away. And what a reunion it's going to be. Being able to see our loved ones who have gone on before, rejoicing around the throne with them, being able to talk to Peter and John and James and all the people that we read about in the Bible, being able to sit down with David and to find out just exactly what he was thinking and what he was feeling as he looked down into the valley and he saw Goliath there cursing God, and how he was thinking about and what he was thinking about. Being able to talk to Noah, being able to talk to Adam, and what it was like to be in a perfect environment. Being able to talk to Paul about all the different missionary journeys that he made and all of the different things that he did while he was here on this earth. And then we get to see, of course, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The one who died for us. The one who left heaven's glory, left his throne, and came to the earth, lived a perfectly sinless life, and yet they crucified him anyway. For us, for you, for me. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that day. It'll be a time of redemption. Turn over, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 3. Look down at verse number 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." These old, vile bodies will be gone. We'll have a glorified body. We'll be in heaven, a place that God has prepared for the redeemed. No more bondage to sin. No more pain. No more sickness. No more sorrow. in Psalm 49:15, it says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Our redemption will be made manifest in that day. But not only us, but then, of course, begins the time that God begins to redeem the world back to himself. By the way, it belongs to him. He's the one that created it. The world belongs to him, and he's going to redeem it back. Terrible things are going to happen as God judges the world for sin, and he begins to take back what is rightfully his. It will be a time of revelation where God will reveal his wrath upon sinful man. And then shortly after the rapture, Jesus will be revealed as the one who sits upon the throne of David. Amen. As the King of Kings and the Amen. Lord of Lords. And all of the things that we read about in the book of Revelation Amen. Begin.
Praise the Lord.
But those who have been redeemed, the saved, the child of God, we're not going to have to see all of those things. We'll be with Jesus. We'll be meeting with him in the air to be with him forever.
Yeah.
We'll be walking down the streets of gold. All of the things that we read about. And you know what? The Bible says the half hasn't even been told of all of the glorious things that we're going to be able to see in heaven. See, the question is, are we ready for the rapture? Are we going to be caught up? Or are we going to be left behind? But not only that, are we ready for the rapture to happen? Now, yes, I'm ready. But you know what? There's still some things that I want to accomplish. There's still some people that I know that are lost and on their way to hell. And if they don't get saved, that's just like all of the things that we read about in the book of Revelation. That's what they're going to be going through. They're going to have to go through that. So, yes, I am spiritually ready for the rapture to happen, but am I ready for the rapture to happen and I won't have a chance to talk to him anymore? Are we ready? Are we ready to meet Jesus? How is our walk? How is our walk with the Lord? Excuse me. Is our walk the way it ought to be to where we're ready to meet Jesus Christ? We have family members, we have neighbors, our co-workers that we know. Are they ready? Have we told them? Have they heard the gospel before? You know, there's a lot of people in this world that have never once heard the gospel. There are a lot of things that still have left to be done. When we were missionaries, God was sending us about as far away from anything I've ever seen, and I wish we could have gone. I wish we could have got our visa to get there. If you look on a map of Alaska and you find Nome and you go straight across the Bering Sea, there's a little town called Pravdinia, Russia. And that's where we believed that we were going to go. I was there. It was great. We went and we found a church that was going to sponsor us in. Our last Sunday there that we were there and spending some time in the church, I didn't understand a lick of what they did. They did sing some hymns that I recognized, even though they were in Russian. At least they were the same melody, so I knew what they were singing. But there was such a sweet spirit because the Holy Spirit had made communion with us. And we were going to leave out, and we were going to go out into the tribal people from that city, because they had never heard. I'm trusting that over the years, that church that I had met with the pastor was able to go out to some of those tribal people out there and reach them for the cause of Christ. Many, many people that we know aren't ready for the rapture. They're not ready, and it's up to us. So, yes, I'm ready spiritually, and yes, I'm looking forward to it, but you know what? There's still time, because he hasn't come yet. There's still time for us to go and tell a lost world about Jesus Christ. There's still time to go across the street to our neighbor and tell them about Jesus Christ. There's still time to talk to our family members and tell them about Jesus Christ. Because we need to make sure that they're ready as well. That they're ready to leave. That last verse, verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 says, Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see, it doesn't matter how dark it is out there. It doesn't matter how dangerous it is out there. I believe, and my dad and I were talking about this a few days ago, of what is it going to take to wake up churches here in the United States? And as we began to talk about that, I said, you know what, honestly, Dad, I think it's going to take persecution. We've had it so easy. We've had it so easy in this country. We haven't seen persecution. I'm sorry, getting a door slammed in your face isn't persecution. Having a tract thrown back at you, which isn't persecution either. It's not. Our government is doing some things out there that it's surprising that they're able to get away with it and some of the things that they've planned. But you know what? It doesn't matter how dark it is. I was watching a sermon the other day, and he talked about the principalities and powers and all this. And again, we're not fighting against people. And that was the whole thing that this preacher was saying. We're not really fighting against people. We're fighting against principalities and powers and wickedness. That's what we're fighting against. No matter how sorrowful. No matter how hard. And if we start suffering, I'm talking about real persecution. I'm talking about them coming through the doors of the church and with guns and saying, hey, are you going to recount or are you not? But it doesn't matter how any of that is. Knowing that we're going to heaven. So he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That even if we go through persecution, all we got to do is just stand. Stand anyway. Do what's right. Stand anyway. Because you know what? The Lord is coming back. The Lord's coming back, and he's coming back very soon. So he says, comfort one another with these words. That, and we think about all the different things that we might see, yet I wonder, we may not, but I don't think we fully understand what the apostles went through as each one of them was tortured to death, with the exception of one, John. But he was banished to the Isle of Patmos after he was tarred and feathered and burned and dripped in oil and everything else. But all of the other apostles, they were all crucified upside down or crucified themselves. And then you think about all of the other saints of God throughout the years that have stood up for this book, and they were lit on fire. And we may not see that. We may, but we may not see that. But you know what? It doesn't matter. because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and all of the trials and the hardships and all of the things that we deal with here on this earth are soon going to be over. So he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, if not,